There are iconic families associated with their respective sports. In football, the Manning family. In motorsports, it's the Petty, Earnhardt, and Andretti families. And in baseball, it's the Lou and the Molina families. And Benji, Yadier, and Jose Molina all became major league catchers and earned 6 World Series championships, each winning 2. Benji Molina is the eldest of the brothers, playing 13 years in the majors with the Angels, Blue Jays, Giants, and the Rangers. And he won 2 World Series and 2 Gold Gloves, and he has written a fascinating book. It's called Molina, The Story of the Father Who Raised an Unlikely Baseball Dynasty. Benji, let me ask you first of all, what about the little town that you grew up in down in Puerto Rico? Tell me a little bit about it.
My little town, man, there was not many people, first of all. There was very few houses and very few good houses, I should say. They, all of them were the same, you know, low, below, middle level. I don't know how you guys say it here, like middle class, but we'll be below middle class. And we were struggling, you know. We had a little small house, but the whole town was the same, so we didn't see any difference. So it was just struggling a little bit. And what we did more was take care of each other. We took care of a family. We became a big family with my uncles and aunts and things like that. But to tell you more about it, it was very difficult for us to come out of there and do what we did. That's what we do in the book, so people know that, understand and know that we didn't do this by ourselves. You know, we just didn't wake up one day and made it to the big leagues. This was a full-on process, and my dad and my mom were part of it, you know.
One of the things that I do know is that your mom was also involved in your career, and we'll get into that a little bit later on. But your dad had a wonderful passion, a love for baseball. Where did that come from?
Well, my dad, he himself was a very good player. You know, they inducted him to the Hall of Fame, and the same day we won the Game 7 World Series in 2002, he was being inducted to the Hall of Fame in amateur baseball. So this didn't happen for like a fluke, you know. My dad was a very good and very smart baseball player too, you know.
Also, I know in your little town that really playing baseball was really a community effort, because you talk in the book, you say baseball fields are community gathering places. You go into any town in Puerto Rico, no matter how poor, and you'll see 2 landmarks, a church and a baseball field.
That is very true. That is very true. And it's still to today, there's a big landmark in the church, and a lot of families, man, they play the game of baseball. And this is, for us before, maybe not so much now, but for us before, was a way out. We saw these like a way out. We saw these like a way that we can help our parents, so we can help our cousins, we can help our uncles, you know. And this is, so that's what one of the main reasons why we went for it. You know, we went all out for it.
Tell me a little bit about how kids in Puerto Rico looked upon baseball in the United States. Now, I know it's a passionate sport in Puerto Rico, Venezuela, the Dominican Republic and everything. And it says in the book about there were 2 pictures, one of Jesus, the other of Roberto Clemente.
Yeah, that's the way we grow up. You know, like I said a little earlier, it was our way out. So we went all out. But every family, it's not only ours, you know, every family is like that. If you go out to Puerto Rico, you're going to see a lot of little leaguers trying to work their way up, you know, and you'll see a lot of high schoolers getting ready for the draft and everybody like that. So it's not only with us, but, man, everybody loved Roberto Clemente, and everybody's so passionate about baseball. And probably, hopefully, we get more people out. We're losing a lot of baseball in Puerto Rico. Hopefully, we get it back.
Let's talk a little bit about your relationship with your father. I think any time that a son is the oldest son in the family, it is both something very special, but it's also very challenging. Am I correct in that observation, even with your own father?
Very, very, very correct. I think one day he told me, he said, "Hey, I need you to be the man of the house." And I thought being the man of the house was just telling everybody what to do, and things like that, which it was funny, but no, it wasn't that. It was just to take care of the family, make sure nothing happens, make sure everything is okay, make sure everything running smoothly. So, I mean, it was very hard for me. That's why I always wanted to be a role model for my brothers. I never wanted to do anything wrong, anything really bad, so they could not follow me. I knew they were right behind me. They were watching what I did and all that. So I didn't want them to do something wrong. So that's why I always wanted to do this the right way, you know, and I wanted to be a role model for them.
Yeah, you said, I wanted my father's approval more than anything, and I suppose you felt by succeeding in baseball, that was one way to get it.
Yes. I wanted to do that, you know. I wanted to succeed because of him. I never understood what it was until later. I understood that that wasn't his dream, you know. And, you know, his dream was more about being a family guy and all that. So I think I tried, like I told you, I tried to do all my best. I tried to follow his dream. I thought that that's what he wanted. I thought he wanted to be a major leaguer, and he couldn't make it. So I wanted to be one for him.
How good of a player was he? Tell me about him as a baseball player.
He was awesome. He was very, very good player. Very, very good player. He was short. He was a second baseman, third baseman. He played in the outfield at times. He represented Puerto Rico many times. He went and represented him. So he was very, very good. I enjoy watching him play. The times I remember when he was 42 or something like that, I remember he's still playing. I mean, he wasn't retired yet. He was still playing. And I remember the other team walked him an intentional walk because they wanted to face the next guy. And that tells you something how good he was. At 42, he's being intentionally walked. And, you know, that's what I saw. You know, I saw him as a very, very good player, very fast, too.
Coming to the United States at 16 and trying to play college baseball, it was not an easy transition because in talking to my other friends who have come out of the Caribbean back at that period of time, they tell me about the fact that language is a problem, the environment is a problem, you're a long way from your home and your support group, which is your family. Tell me a little bit about what it was like for you.
For me, it was very tough. I did not want to be where I was in Arizona. I did not want it one bit. I started calling my dad and my mom through collect calls, and I tried to call them and say, "Hey, listen, send me your ticket. I want to go home. I really do. I don't feel like being here." It was very hot. It was 120 when I got there, and it was very. I mean, I didn't like the whole environment. I didn't speak one word of English. Everybody's just going crazy in my head because I couldn't understand them. But once baseball started, everything changed because now we're talking about playing baseball, something I relate to, something I know how to do, and they can understand me by me running or by me hitting or my be in defense. So when that happened, I tell you what, it changed my brain, it changed my mind, and I wanted to play and I wanted to stay.
Certainly, when you turned 18 and you were passed over in the amateur draft, that was one of the early, I think, baseball crises in your life. And tell me what you did when you did not get drafted, how it affected you, Benji.
It affected me so much, I tell you. I cannot tell you enough times. It affected me this is what I always wanted to do. And all of a sudden, I couldn't even do it. I couldn't even be drafted. And I saw many of my friends that I thought I was a little better than them getting drafted high, you know, and very, very high in the draft. And all of a sudden, here I am. And all those years, I never got drafted. So it hurt my feelings. Baseball hurt my feelings because I, you know, obviously I thought I couldn't make it. But other than that, I mean, I recovered pretty good. And I battled my butt off and try to make it happen so bad that, you know, I wasn't thinking of that later when I signed. You know, obviously I was just going on with my career. But, yeah, you're right. It's really, really, really hurt you.
And, again, it was your mom and dad that came through with some advice that kind of turned you around and headed you in the right direction, wasn't it? What about that meal that you were having? What did they say to you?
Well, they were trying to keep me positive because I was very down. I was really, really very down. I didn't want to even think of baseball. You know, I thought baseball was a really rough sport. I didn't think baseball was kind of fair and at one point. But to tell you the truth, my mom and dad were so supportive. They were so behind me. They said, "This is not over. You're still young." And I've seen a lot of people a lot of players get signed later on in life. It doesn't have to be right now, so keep battling, keep doing it, and keep fighting and keep training. Do not stop training. Just go out there and try to be better for next one. Don't give up yet, you know. Don't do that. And I have that in my head, and you know, so I just went all out. You know, I said, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to go all out in here, you know. So that's what probably helped me out.
Benji Molina has joined us on Sports Byline. I want you to check out his book. It's called Molina, The Story of the Father Who Raised an Unlikely Baseball Dynasty. But his mother played a part in his career as well. We'll talk about that as we continue on Sports Byline.